Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Edge Portal. We have Larry and Augusto tonight. And in the second hour, we're going to have Nathan Leal on. I am so excited, looking forward to hearing what Father wants us to know tonight. Larry?
Hello, Dorothy. Hello, Augusto.
Hey, Larry, how are you tonight? Good to
hear
you.
Hanging in there, and I think Roz may join us sometime during the show tonight, but appreciate all y'all showing up. We'll just see where all this goes. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Well, I was just going to, my goodness, I am not feeling well. I'm sorry. I have to apologize. My mind is taking a walk, and it's taking you with me.
Why don't we pray?
Go ahead.
Let's just pray and ask the Father to bless this program. Father, I just thank you tonight for allowing us to gather together, Lord, Larry and Dorothy and myself, Lord, and later Nathan will join. Father, I just take authority right now over the airwaves and this program, Lord, that everything, Lord, will go smoothly. Every attempt of the enemy, Lord, to interrupt, to do anything to hinder, Father, the flow of this show, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we release the power of the Holy Spirit upon this program, Father, and upon Larry, myself, Dorothy, and when Nathan comes on. Father, I just pray that you would do your will tonight, that you would speak upon those things that you want to be shared, and that you would do so, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, with peace and grace and authority. And we give you all the praise and the glory for the people out there, that they be touched, they be energized, they be strengthened by the program tonight. We thank you, Father. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Augusto.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Was there anything in particular you wanted to discuss tonight, guys? I was...
I thought I would just again mention the fact about the roots being exposed that I talked to Augusto about on a previous program, and then let him, I'm sure he's got a few things to share that even may be fresh. We'll see.
Amen. Well, Larry, I was thinking about you today and yesterday about that that vision you had about the roots being exposed, and I was praying last night and yesterday before that debate, and and sure enough, there were many things that came forth last night that were revealed. You know, truth will always overpower darkness, and so the prayer of the saints, the prayer of the righteous, always prevail. They always prevail, and darkness cannot be manifested. The spirit of darkness is the spirit of lies, the spirit of seduction, the spirit of control, the spirit of manipulation. All these things cannot be manifested when the spirit of light, the spirit of God, is present. So last night, I believe that many things were revealed. I think people are realizing the difference between the president and Romney and what they want to bring about, and there are many things that I believe are happening as a result of the prayers and the fastings of God's people, and they're being revealed. Many things are being revealed right now. Many strategies, many hidden strategies of the enemy are being revealed. I believe that we are going to be experiencing some incredible supernatural things in the next several months, and I don't understand it all right now. But I do believe that it is going to happen. One of the things, Larry, that I also came upon was somebody sent me a report from in Spanish from Mexico on some NASA information on the end of the world as we know it, and it's pretty intense. It's pretty interesting. They talk about solar wind. They talk about the photonic belt. They talk about impact of asteroids. They talk about the sun. what the sun is going to be doing during this next several months, about the power outages that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're expecting these things to begin sometime after December, but nobody really knows for sure. And I don't know if the people out there have heard about the fact that the president's agenda for the remaining of October is empty. Nothing. There's nothing on the presidential agenda, as well as other members of Congress, as well as other people in different parts of the world, leaders that have canceled their meetings and their trips. This almost seems like a repeat of what happened last year, doesn't it, Larry?
It really does. This is very interesting. This indicates that apparently people around the world have a certain knowledge of maybe celestial and earth change events that we're not aware of to some degree, and have begun to plan on those things. And really now, at this point in time, and we're in October, they are beginning to actually carry those plans out.
Yeah. Well, last year, if people remember, same thing happened around the same time, around the time of Rosh Hashanah through the Feast of Tabernacles. The people began, members of the White House cabinet and the Congress began to go to Denver, Colorado, and even the members of NASA and the Parliament in England. I mean, the same thing again. They canceled all the meetings, and it seems like they just dropped off the face of the earth. They disappeared, and then nothing happened, and everything was back to normal. And I remember I took a lot of slack last year. I really took a lot of tongue lashing from people writing me emails about, you know, because I dared to talk about these things, and here we go again. It's happening again, and I backed off a little bit from reporting some of these things, but the fact is that it's happening all over again. So something, like you said, Larry, something seems to be taking place that certain people in high places know, and of course this information is not disseminated to the population of the earth, only to a select few. And those that know, that are in the know, they are the ones that are canceling the meetings and going to who knows where, running for cover, I guess.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, Augusto, that, there was a word came out, and I don't remember who gave it, actually, but somebody had sent out an email to be very cautious or watch where you went. Don't go far from home in October of this year, because an event might occur and you can't even get home. And that seems quite a bit how even our own government or administration in Washington is doing right now. They're staying close to home.
Yeah. Well, that's a fact. And the thing is that there is an event, of course, the discovery, and this was just discovered recently, of Comet C-2012-S1. And right now they say it's between the orbits of Jupiter and Saturn. It's only about 2 miles across and about 6.2 billion miles away. They say it will come around the sun on November 28th, 2013. I checked this on the, on NASA's, on their laboratory and their orbital sketches, and mm-hmm. it's going to come within 0.013 AU from the sun. It's going to come very close within the sun, and then it's going to go right around the sun and go back out into space. And it's coming in at a 30-degree angle, and it will be closest to planet Earth on December 2013, around Christmas time, at about a distance of 0.427 AU. So scientists are saying that this is going to be one of the brightest comets in the history. And it's going to be visible to the naked eyes for a few months in late 2013 and early 2014. They say it's going to be so bright that it is going to outshine the moon.
Wow.
So this scientists, for some reason, they're saying that this comet seems to be following the same path of the Great Comet of 1680, which was considered one of the most spectacular ever seen from the Earth. So maybe it's that, maybe it's something else, I don't know, but there's so many things going on right now, Larry, that it's almost impossible to cover it all.
Well, it really is. I cannot remember a time, you know, my desk is just so stacked up with just notes that I've made. And when you try to research those notes, of course, you run into disinformation and you run into cover-up and you run into agencies of news that really don't want you looking into that. And it's just amazing. You know, we've been having some large earthquakes, too, recently,
yep.
and some more predicted. This is a very strange time.
One of the things that I got in the, and I don't know if it was just me, but one of the things as I was watching the debate last night between President Obama and candidate Mitt Romney, presidential candidate Mitt Romney, by looking at the, you know, President Obama's gestures and body language, it was almost like he didn't care about that debate whatsoever. Did you get that same feeling, Larry?
It's very interesting. It's like almost he was, you know, it was a debate that he didn't appear to even be ready for particularly, but at the same time it could be that it didn't really matter and he knew it. One thing I did note, though, Augusto, is, and I haven't heard the same adoration from even his side of and his people that I did when he ran in 2008. It didn't seem like that and I'm not trying to conflict with the Holy Spirit because this is not, but it doesn't seem like that covering spirit, demonic spirit, that covered for him in the last time he was elected is there this time. Did you notice there wasn't
yeah.
any type of even an anti-anointing? He wasn't anointed at all.
No, there was none, zilch, zero. And that, I believe, has something to do with the prayer and the fasting of the saints. You know, there's a lot of people praying and fasting for this election, Larry. I mean, I just, right at the top of my head, there's like a handful of churches I know of that are doing this. I mean, who knows how many of them out there are doing this. So I'm talking about churches, whole congregations of people that are fasting and praying and really doing some soul-searching about this. Maybe this is what's going to bring, you know, some repentance upon the people of this country and you know, withhold, I guess, or postpone or, you know, give a reprieve for all these judgments that are pending upon this nation. I don't know, but it could be.
Well, you know, one thing that we've seen before and one thing that I've really... of course, I liken it a lot to the Selah in the Psalms, you know, a time for people to pause and reflect. But God has, and I've searched it out, he has a word delay, you know, in throughout even some of the, you know, I've had people look up delay in some of the Torah codes, and it's definitely there. And so, and well, of course, we have scripture for it, too, like with Hezekiah and his, you know, It's interesting that prayers, they affect not only the heavenlies, they affect what's on the earth, they affect the demonic entities that are trying to work on the earth, and they affect God himself. I mean, there are times when God can simply, like Nineveh, delay a complete judgment, and still that judgment, though it looks biblically, to still come about down the road. It'll
right.
still happen, what God said, but it's just delayed a little bit because of the prayers, you know.
Exactly. And that's what I felt, you know, that there was a shift. A few weeks ago, you know, when I was praying, I just felt a shift in the spirit realm. And I was talking to someone today, a precious woman of God, an intercessor, and she was telling me that she also had gotten the same thing in the spirit, that there had been a reprieve. Maybe not a long reprieve, but maybe even a short reprieve to give time for his saints one more time to give them time.
One thing. Yeah, Augusto, you and I haven't talked in the last few days before we talked about the show, but up to just a few days ago, you know, you and I had been talking, and I was feeling an urgency. I mean a real urgency in a preparation to do something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Without going into it. And do you know that the last few days that urgency has left for some reason?
Yeah.
And, you know, now whether things have, something has changed and I don't see the fullness of it yet, or maybe something else is going to happen, or the fact that there is a short delay maybe injected into our timeline here on the planet and in America especially, you know, interestingly, Augusto, it seemed to shift or a delay or something occurred about the time that Netanyahu made that speech at the UN. You know,
yep.
And I know that was a worldly speech, and I know that he was, you know, basically, you know, talking, well, war talk to the great degree. But then again, it seemed along that time frame with which Obama and Netanyahu had had a head on, and there was real trouble brewing, and Iran was, you know, making moves. And it's odd, this is interesting, and too, about the same time frame, I don't know if you've known some of the most last couple of days' news or not, but Syria has attacked a village inside Turkey, and for the last 48 hours, Turkey has been firing artillery into Syria, and the parliament of Turkey has actually given their approval or passed a their approval for inserting the Turkish army in Syria. There's been an artillery barrage on certain military bases inside Syria. So this is really some really strange stuff right now going on.
Yeah, they're getting that caliphate really set up, you know, for the soon coming false Christ and, you know, Antichrist. Now, I don't know if you saw a report, Larry, by Stan Dale, that he was told by a friend from Homeland Security that there was going to be a massive explosion in the sun in the month
no,
of October.
I haven't seen that.
Well, maybe this has something to do with what we were talking before, you know, about these people disappearing, you know, and canceling all their trips and agendas. But there's something going on with the sun. I mean, that sun is just doing the most incredible eruption. And one of them is sooner or later is bound to hit us, and when that happens, it's going to cause everything to go black. I mean, to go dark, and this could be what these people are concerned about. I don't know, but of course that movie, you know, Knowing, that's what he talks about, a solar flare that totally burned up the Earth, and. I just don't see how anybody could survive that unless they're deep underground.
Well, you know, the movie was fairly accurate, actually, and, you know, they made that, interestingly, from the data that I saw from that Avonbury crop circle in the U.K. that occurred that left that, you know, in the plants, you know.
Right.
And you know, they said, of course, interestingly, Nicolas Cage in the movie, you know, indicated, and now I don't know the accuracy of this, but he said that the radiation itself would kill everything anywhere that's not below 2 miles deep.
Right.
And
well,
of course,
absolutely.
That is a movie. Yeah, that is a movie, but we are getting, I don't know if you saw it today or could see the sun, but it was extremely bright. I mean, it was incredibly bright. And I've been watching some of the – there have been some incredible CMEs being thrown off the sun on the other side of the sun. Now, that may be due, Augusto, to another object interacting
yes.
with our sun and its gravitational fields, you know, our magnetism.
Well, let me read you something interesting about this document that I received, okay? Very, very
sure.
interesting. It's talking about the photon belt, okay, that we are entering in. We are our solar system is entering into this photonic belt, which is made up of photons, which are light particles, okay? And because of this, we are experiencing all these pressures and earthquakes and volcanic activity. And I mean, there are 66 volcanoes right now, Larry, in various stages of eruption. We've had 5 7.0 or more or larger earthquakes in the last 45 days. So this is definitely ramping up. But the Earth is, like some of the consequences, I'm going to share this, some of the consequences that the people on planet Earth are going to feel is this, as we pass through the photonic belt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The every living being on the Earth, on planet Earth, is going to go through a type of evolution. Something is going to happen to the people. The people, it says, report, may feel lethargic, you know, kind of zapped with no strength during 3 days, while the atoms and cells of our bodies are changing to photons. And this is how the evolution is going to begin to take place. Now, these people, of course, you know, they're maybe a little new agey, whatever, but they're talking about, Larry, the human race going into the fourth dimension and going to a level of vibration much higher than we are used to being or experiencing. And this will allow us to develop new abilities such as telepathy, telekinesis, clairvoyance, etc. Now, another thing they say is that in this evolution, only 15% of the world population are going to go on through to the fifth dimension. Okay? Now, before we go in and I go any further, this is an area that you know, not many people know about or understand or, you know, read about. This is, and I mean, we are getting into here some really some sophisticated physics, you know, and physiology of you know, and science that nobody knows much about except those top scientists, you know, like Einstein, and so forth. You know, he talked about the fourth dimension and the fifth dimension. Now, of course, when we read the book of Enoch, we read there about many levels of heaven that Enoch was taken to by the Almighty. So I believe that the fifth dimension, that whatever that is beyond the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is where there is no time, when time ceases to exist. That is where the equation of Einstein, E equals mc squared, right? That energy equals mass times a quotient. Now, I'm no expert of this. I'm just going to take a crack at it, okay? I wish Stan Dale was present so he could, you know, throw his his light
go
into
ahead,
this.
Go ahead,
but,
though. Yeah, but, we'll listen to you.
But the fourth dimension, from what I have read, other scientists, okay, and from what I have understood is there will be a, when we get into the fourth dimension, there will be no more time. Time will cease to exist. And as I was reading this, Larry, I began to think about that experience I had a few years ago. Remember when the Lord showed me the dates and he said, right next to those dates, he says, the end of time.
Yes, I remember that, yes.
And I was wondering, I said, maybe this is what the Lord meant when he said the end of time, 2012 through 2014. That time is going to cease to exist as we know it.
Yeah,
we are not going to be, we are not going to continue to be in the third dimension like we think. There's going to be a change. And so when I read this, it just hit me. I said, wait a minute. So these scientists are saying that the whole planet may experience this. When bombarded by these photons and this, you know, when we go through the photonic belt, when we get bombarded by these photons, we may experience a change in our bodies of going into the fourth dimension. And then this same scientists are saying that only 15% of the population of the world are going to go into the fifth dimension. And there I start thinking about the percentage of people that are going to make it through the straight and narrow gate that the Lord spoke about.
Right.
That not many will make it through, that only a few will make it through. And he talks about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. And so he said, strive to go in through the narrow gates. And so there again, I read that and I say, wait a minute, the figures may be a bit off here. I don't think it's going to be 15%. I think it's going to be much lower than that, the percentage that goes into the fifth dimension, you know, that goes on to be with the Lord, that are transformed. The transformation, okay, of our bodies, the manifestation of the sons of God, that is going to be way, way under 15%, but this is the number that they're throwing out there. And so these people are saying that this evolution, they call it, is going to affect the animals, the vegetation, the minerals. Everything is going to be changed. And basically they're saying that we're going to go through three stages. First, there's going to be a pressure of energy in the photonic belt that is not going to allow the light of the sun to reach the earth. And remember that experience I had, Larry, about the darkness coming into the earth, great darkness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I saw that and I said, wait a minute, this thing is coming together too fast for my brain to wrap around. The sun is not, the rays of the sun are not going to be able to reach us. The stars, we won't be able to see them. The skies are going to be dark, completely dark for 3 days, according to this document. And so this thing, Larry, these things that we're about to see and we're about to experience are things that we have never experienced before. Humankind has never experienced it. This is beyond...
Yeah,
go ahead, Larry.
Let me read you something and give me your opinion. Something came to mind as you was reading that and bringing that out. I'm using the King James Version Amplified, but in Joshua chapter 10, let me begin at verse 11, and verse 10, I'll say, Israel here is having a problem, and it says, and the Lord caused the enemies to panic before Israel, who slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goes up to Bethoron, and smote them as far as Achaiah and Makkedah. Okay, now verse 11, now we'll be getting into the meat of it here, and kind of listen to some of the terminologies, is kind of what you were saying. As they fled before Israel, while they were descending the pass to Bethoron, the Lord cast great stones from the heavens, plural. Now, that's heavens, plural. That could be the, and it sounds like to be plural heavens, Augusto, it would probably be the atmosphere around the planet and space itself, too. So these sounds like space rocks of some kind, maybe. As far as Hezekiah killing them, said more died because of the hailstones than the Israelites slew with a sword. So in other words, Augusto, hailstones fell, and I guess they were smart hailstones or smart rocks or whatever you want to call them, because, they didn't kill God's people. They killed the ones they was fighting in the middle of the battle with.
That's right.
Verse 12, then Joshua spoke to the Lord that day, when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, and he said in the sight of Israel. Now, this is what Joshua said when he was praying. Son, be silent and stand still at Gibeon, and you, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And verse 13 says, apparently this is what happened. It says, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. In other words, it didn't move either. Until the nation took vengeance upon their enemies. Is it not this written in the book of Jasher?
Wow.
So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and did not hasten to go down. Listen to this, Augusto, for about a whole day. Now, Augusto, for the sun and for nothing to move, in other words, it stayed apparently daylight. It stayed just like it was. It was like time stood still. And you've got people of God and the enemy people fighting on the earth during this time that the sun don't move, the moon don't move, everything stays the same for a whole 24-hour period.
That's right.
And then it said verse 14 that said there was no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man. The Lord fought for Israel. Now, there we have a, that to me, now I could be wrong, but that to me, Augusto, sounds like time stood still at the hand of God from the cry of a man. That's actually really what you would call a precedent being set for time standing still.
That's right. That's right.
And yet the activity, of mankind still going on the earth while time itself has stopped for one whole day.
Well, I believe, Larry, that what caused that to happen, you know, for the sun to stand still like that was the earth stopped turning.
Mm-hmm.
The earth had to stop turning.
Well,
so
that would be almost time standing still because, you know, all of this is really
a full reversal.
Event. Yeah, you're right.
And you know, and these things are tremendously physical powers at work here, and of course we know that the Almighty worked into everything, into His divine will, the passage of this object back then, you know, because that was during the time of the passage of this object when these things happened in the days of Joshua. Another scripture that is very interesting is Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He shall destroy its sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and its constellations, listen, shall not give their light. The
mm-hmm.
sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine." Now, we've always wondered, Larry, if that was supposed to be, you know, symbolic, a scripture, you know. A lot of people have tried to spiritualize it, you know, or it was real. Well, according to this NASA document, that is exactly what's going to happen. The rays of the sun are not going to be able to reach us. And are not going to be able, to, you know, we won't be able to see the stars, the moon, the sun. And this is the same thing that the Lord also mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, and Mark chapter 13, verse 24. He says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." This is what these people are talking about, Larry. And
it sounds exactly like it. Yes, it does.
Now, there's another article that I stumbled upon here about strange energy that is bombarding planet Earth, and it's coming from the galactic center. And this was on September 13 of this year. And it says, "Strange particles believed to be emanating from the elusive dark matter at the center of the galaxy have been confirmed to be bombarding Earth. Two physicists from the prestigious Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of California discovered more gamma rays bombarding Earth than believed by astronomers. The stream of electromagnetic radiation spewed by the process of intensive radioactive decay and other high energy emissions may be triggering the bizarre mutation, listen, of matter, and an incredible energy cloud that an astrophysicist says threatens the Earth." So this energy cloud, that is the same photon belt that I was talking about. This was submitted by this scientist to and reviewed by the American Physical Society Journal, a physical review. They talk about colliding particles of dark matter may be creating a maelstrom of turbulent energy deep in the heart of the Milky Way galaxy. And, I mean, there are other particles, exotic particles that have been detected that are coming from there. So this article is fascinating. Then another article, Larry, NASA claims that there is approaching a doomsday event. This was in May of last year. It says NASA and the European Space Agency have been warning that the world for 2 years about the approaching catastrophes that may unfold during 2012. A few listened, calling it a once-in-a-lifetime super solar storm event. NASA warns that the killer solar flares can slam the Earth, knocking out the Northern Hemisphere's technological infrastructure. Listen to that. The Northern Hemisphere's.
Right.
Don't talk about the Southern Hemisphere.
Exactly.
Technological infrastructure and kicking everything back to the level of the late 1800s.
Wow.
Russia has voiced concerns, and now their eminent astrophysicist, Alexei Dmitriev, claims that what is happening is worse, much worse, than what NASA and ESA have admitted.
My.
Interesting.
All of that seems to be connecting together during the same time frame, almost.
Well, it is. That's the thing, that this what these scientists are saying, Larry, is that this is imminent. This is happening. It has begun already. It began a few years ago, but now we are entering into the thick of it. We are entering into this photonic belt, and and this thing. I mean, this thing is real. This thing. Nobody talks much about it. Most people talk about Planet X. But this is, I think, Larry, much more dangerous than Planet X. And this is going to do things to this planet and life on this planet that we have never experienced before. That is one of the reasons, I think, that Jesus said that those days, if those days had not been shortened, no life would be left alive.
Mm-hmm.
And for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. And he says that there has never been a day like this. No, nor shall there ever be again.
Wow,
and,
that's true.
Mm-hmm. See, it, this is the whole, our whole solar system is entering into this photonic belt. And so this is what I think, this is one of the reasons that is affecting the sun so much, causing it to have so many CMEs, I don't know, Larry. This thing is going to be so massive. There's another article. Let me see if I can find it here that ties into this. Another scientist, Payne Andoff. It's another scientist. Expected cosmic events from 2012 to 2013. Payne Andoff explains how a galactic superwave is expected to reach our planet in the very near future with implications of affecting our DNA. And there we go again. He says that thousands of years ago from the galactic center of the Milky Way, there was a powerful release of an enormous amount of energy, which is like a huge shining circular wave spreading across the galaxy from its center on its edges. And he says that this thing is going to impact all human life and all animal life on our planet. And and he says that there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, you know,
that's pretty encouraging. Also,
I'm getting emails and reports from people all over the world right now that a lot of the animal life are acting like they've never seen them act before. They're acting very strange. It's like they're a little jumpy. It's like the animals stop and just almost listen to everything around them. It's like the animals know something that maybe we don't yet exactly.
Well, I think I shared with you a few days ago, Larry, that a couple of weeks ago, and this has stopped for now. It has stopped. I haven't felt that like that again, but I started feeling like very strange, like something like very strange happening to me, to my body, like a pressure, like it was being pressed down, like I was experiencing pressure, tension, stress, and it's not stress from work or anything like that, you know, this is different. I felt almost like heat, like a source of heat was coming down on me, very strange. And I also shared with you the fact that I walk outside. I walked outside to, you know, I go walking every night, and wherever I seem to be, no matter where I am, and I heard this strange sound, you know, the same sound that lots of people have reported all over the earth.
Yeah.
The, you know, the sound like a blaring horn, and you know, or horns, many blaring horns, you know, like sounds of trumpets, you know, loud, screeching sounds. And I heard that. It sounded far away, coming from the south, from where I am.
And you're actually, to let people know, you're in northern Florida, basically, aren't you?
Yes, I am in northern Florida. And I heard it. And now, this is not the first time I hear that. About a year ago, I was in my bed in the middle of the night, and in the middle of the night, I heard a different sound. This one was a little different, but it was like a humming, blaring sound, and in a sequence. It was coming in a sequence. Mm-hmm. And the only other place where I have heard that sound, of course, is in the reports of people from all over the earth. And I saw a documentary, I don't know if you saw it, Larry, of National Geographic, of the Dagon people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where they take like this bullhorn and they tie it, a string to it, and then they start, just swirling it around and around and around and around, and it makes a very strange noise, you know, like woo 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 woo, like that.
Right.
And that is exactly what I heard that night. And they said that this is the Dagon star, or the star. It's coming from the star Sirius, or the Dog Star, which is, you know, maybe another name for this object that is approaching. But at any rate, this, I think many of these things is what's causing all these strange sounds, strange noises, and all these changes that are taking place according to these scientists and reports.
That is incredibly interesting.
Yeah, it really is, and of course, you know, I have talked in other interviews about this other scientist, Dr. Alexei Dmitriev, and this report is available. It's sponsored by the Millennium Group. It was produced in January 8, 1998, and there he talks about many of these things, many of these geological, geophysical processes, and nobody really understands what's going on, Larry, and I believe we are entering into the end of times, spoken of in the Holy Bible. This is it. This is it right here.
Well, and you did have the, you can bring any of that out if you want to, but you did have, a throne room experience about time.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. And, I was there. I was taken there. I was taken to the throne room of the Lord. He was sitting there on his throne. And
it
was...
Go ahead.
It was just the most incredible experience I've ever had. I was just overwhelmed. I didn't share this for a long time with anybody. But I think the time has come to share this because it's imminent. And I have this in my book, in the book Smile, Jesus, Love You. I placed it there. I published it there. I haven't released it. It's not in the internet because I thought it was so private, and I kept it to myself for so long. But this was something that the Father wanted me to see. He wanted me to see this. And for some reason, I don't know why he wanted me to see this, because I am not one for setting dates. I don't set dates. I don't prognosticate like all these people that spend all their day, you know, all day long working with numbers, you know, and Bible prophecies, and, you know, and trying to prognosticate, you know, the timing of the coming of the Lord, you know. I'm supposed to be in May, it's supposed to be in September, it's supposed to be in October. I don't do that. I don't do that because I've learned.
Yeah.
It's futile. Okay, it's futile. I only the only times I ever release dates or things like that is when it's shown to me. It's shown to me in a vision or in an experience, and this is what happened here. So this is not Augusto coming up with this numbers or coming up with this ideas. This was given to me, and that is it. I mean, I'm just a messenger. I didn't come up with this, and but what was shown to me, Larry, was that starting this year, 2012, and the subsequent years, 2013 and 2014, something is going to happen, because what I saw was that right next to those dates that the Father showed me, and he had it written on this big book that was sitting on his lap, and all it said right next to it, there was only a word written right next to it, and I was almost afraid to look at it. When he pulled me to himself, I don't know how I got there. I don't think I walked. I don't know how I got there. I was there. I mean, he just pulled me there. It's almost like I floated there. And he drew me by his power, and he was looking at me in the eye. It was. I could not break free from that gaze, because it's the most incredible gaze that that I have ever seen from an entity, from a being so full of love and yet so full of wisdom and power and glory and understanding and compassion. And it was almost like I couldn't break free from just looking at him and just being there worshiping him. But he had a book on his lap. And that when he looked down at it, he looked down at the book, and I couldn't help but look at it. I didn't want to look at it. I was afraid I was going to see there. I didn't want to look at the book, but I looked at the book finally, because he did it twice. He looked back at me, and then he looked at the book. He wanted me to look at the book. And the book was opened, and he had those dates written on it very clearly. I saw the dates clearly. And right next to it, he had this written, "The End of Times." That was it. And I didn't see anything after that. Nothing. It was blank. And, you know, Larry, we are about to enter into this time frame, and there's all these scientists saying what might happen and what things may take place, and that we may go into the fourth dimension, and the few are going to go into the fifth dimension, and we are hearing reports of this strange energy coming from the galactic center, and how these things are bombarding the Earth, changing our DNA, and you know about the photonic belt. And this thing, another thing, Larry, that if I may share is that is in this report.
Sure.
It says that the sun is going to emit a blue light. It says the sun is going to emit a blue light, and it's going to change us from atoms to photons of light. And when we're going through this, no electric equipment is going to function.
Uh-huh.
No car batteries. There will be no way to communicate. And this is going to be something that, according to this document, is going to take us up to 2018, where a new era begins, according to this document. So this falls right in with Stuart Best's research,
mm-hmm.
and with what the Lord showed me in this experience, this fits right in perfect like a glove. As far as the time, as far as the timeline.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to bring up the fact, you know, interestingly, you talked about
one thing we have entered, I mean, everybody knows it. You know, it's just something you can't hide because it's operating. You know, of course, one thing, you know, you got about the great darkness that was coming or descending, the ubiquitous darkness. And one of the things I talked to Stan Deo about, you know, I did kind of a, I guess it was an aggravated tract one time, Bible tract. I wrote on something I called God's pre-flood rapture. And anyway, I didn't get any replies back, but you probably got a copy of that one time that I had written. And basically I was looking at what happened to the people of God before the flood itself, before the actual flood event, and in the book of Jasher, and there are clues in different places. But anyway, without going into that, one of the things that Stan Deo shared with me is the fact that one of the changes, and that's kind of what I've brought up now while we're in conversation, is the change it seems to be going on right now in everything on this planet, in the even the atmosphere of the planet, the solar system that the planet's in, the galaxy that the solar, you know, all of this is in a flux of change right now. Well, one of the things Stan, and if you get any ideas on this, let me know, indicated was the fact that one of the changes we were going to begin to recognize was frequency, a change right. in frequency.
That's right. Well, the frequency is changing. It's affecting our human brain. That's another article I wrote. I read some time back that the frequency in our human brain, the way our human brain is working, is working at a much higher frequency, and it's already beginning to affect our brain. And
the thing I was thinking, and give me your thoughts on this if you will, is the fact that, you know, we've had reports over and over that the veil is thinning, you know, in other words, the veil between dimensions. Well, if, according to Stan Deo, that the dimensions are basically kept apart by different frequencies that operate within those dimensions, could really the thinning of the veil, is it so much that the veil itself is thinning, or is it that we are changing and now being able or allowed to see or have perception of that veil or the separations of the dimensions ourselves? You know, some people see things and others don't, you know?
Right. I think it's what you just said. Because the veil really thinning, that has to do with the dimensions shifting. And we human beings operate on the third dimension, you know, of time and space. And so when that changes, whenever our atoms begin to be impacted and affected and changed into photons of light, which is what the Bible, I mean, that's exactly what the Bible talks about, Larry, that, when Jesus Christ was changed, Yeshua HaMashiach, his body became a body of light. His body became, if you will, photonic. And he was able to walk through walls, right? He was able to travel by just thinking about it. He was able to communicate by telepathy. Mm-hmm. He was able to eat, but he didn't have to eat. He was able to be touched by Thomas. He was touched by Thomas. He put his hand in his, you know, into his side,
And what's interesting, Augusto, is the fact that, remember, when he came out of that experience, he left, I'm assuming the Shroud of Turin is a result of what happened to him. But interestingly, he said, I've not yet even been glorified.
That's right. That's right. He had, it's almost like he went maybe to the fourth dimension, but not to the fifth dimension yet. I don't know. This is hard to explain. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I know it's crazy.
Well, it's really, really deep stuff. You know, like you said, it's hard to talk this stuff. And you know, I'm not even sure, Augusto, that scientists really know enough of the theory or the operations of some of this stuff, because it gets into really supernatural, which is actually beyond physics, natural physics.
Oh, it's way beyond. I mean, this thing is in the category of Tesla, and Einstein, and I don't even know they understood it all when they were talking about this. This thing, see, because you cannot understand these things, Larry, just in the by applying physical scientific data to it. This goes into the spiritual.
Yeah.
So this is not just physical or astrophysical. This is spiritual. So this cannot be comprehended by just applying physical laws to it and scientific laws. This can only be comprehended when you bring together, when you marry scientific knowledge and you apply it to spiritual laws and spiritual principles. Then maybe we begin to make some sense out of this. And this is what you and I are trying to do. We are not experts at this, but we're just trying to make some sense out of this.
I know it. It's almost like talking about all this natural stuff that we can see, feel, taste, and touch, and all of these kind of things, or perceive of, that was made from something we can't even see. In other words, the visible was made from the invisible, and it's us trying to describe portions of that or explain that.
Yeah, this goes back to the previous, I think it was the program we had with Daniel Holdings, about light, you know, the power of light and how light changes and how light seems to be so powerful and it overcomes darkness. And I think there's something, there's a lot here to the light, and we are called the children of light. I believe that light resides within us, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are born again and filled with the Spirit, our spirits are energized and activated by the Spirit of God. That's what it means to be born again of the Spirit. Our spirits have been birthed, have been born again. Uh-huh. And then when that happens, something happens to us. We no longer are in darkness, Larry. We are in the light. We are like sparks of light. And I believe that the angels, when they look at us from heaven, and the Father, when he looks at us from heaven, he sees us as specks of light over here on the earth. I believe that is how his people are going to be identified when the angels are sent to gather us. We are going to be recognized by the light that emanates from us.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, you mentioned Daniel's book, you know, his new novel that he's completed writing, not yet published, but he's completed it. Is called As the Darkness Falls, which is really an intriguing story. But, you know, one of the things that I thought of as you were saying this, and I know Nathan will be on in just a minute, but let me run this by you real quick, is Daniel in his novel, especially the first one. I haven't read the second yet, but in the first one he gets really, really deep into some of the activity of CERN and HARP, which we do know, and I've got, you know, reports from Klaus Dohna about the one over, you know, in Europe, the CERN activity, where they actually were looking. Now, listen to this. They're actually looking for dark matter. You know, you brought that up earlier. Now, where are they looking, though? They're looking, Augusto. They appear to be trying to open other dimensions to look for dark matter. And, you know, I got to thinking, Stuart Best talks about how that we live in a negative universe.
Right.
Now, if we do live in a negative universe, the dark matter they're looking at far in other locations or other dimensions is really light.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And there seems to be something about this center of the galaxy, which is like a black hole, because this is where these so-called photon particles are coming from. I mean, there's a lot here that we just don't understand. And I think we're about to see some interesting stuff take place in the very near future. One last thing I want to say before the break, because I think we're going to have a break, right, at the top of the hour. But there is a lady, her name is Maria Soracle, Larry. She's a devout, she's devoted her entire life to the spreading of the message of Garabandal, which is, you know, when Mary appeared, you know, or they say it was Mary. Maybe it was an angel, I don't know. To the children there, and she, you know, she has been very close to these children, you know, and the children saw the sun. There was an explosion in the sun, and that is how the world was going to be impacted in the judgments of God. But anyway, what I wanted to say was that I received an email on April of this year that Maria Soracle, which she hadn't talked until now, but she just released the fact that she says she's feeling, and she told this to a friend of her, that the warning will occur this year on December 21st, 2012. And the warning, of course, is one of the it's the first thing that, according to these children, you know, was going to happen, which was it was going to be a sign in the sun,
uh-huh.
A sign in the sun. The sun was going to explode, and there was going to be sign, and the world was going to be taken into a supernatural arena or a supernatural dimension. And and now she's opened her mouth. She had never opened her mouth. And now she opened her mouth and said, this is going to happen. And she says, on December 21st, 2012. And she believes that the miracle at the Pines, which is the second thing that's going to happen according to this message, is going to happen in April of 2013. And she said that this is a feeling she has inside of her, and that none of these other children have told her anything, but this is what she feels very strongly. So there you go, another confirmation there.
My. Hey, Nathan, are you on with us?
Is his area code 208? Someone has popped in with area code 208.
I think so. Hold on a second. I need to check real quick, but I think so. Yeah, he's over in Idaho. Hold on just a second. His area code, now I don't know if he'll be calling from this number, but the number I have is 208, and the other area code I have is 970.
970,
you know,
is the other one? Okay, I'm going to open 208. We'll see if it's him.
Yeah, that should be him.
Nathan,
hello?
Is that you?
That's me.
Well, welcome.
Hey, Nathan.
To the show.
Good to hear you. Good. I was over there hollering, saying, I'm here, and it was like I was in that. Well, we're so glad.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey,
glad you could make it.
I'm here, brothers. How are you doing? And sister. Oh, we're just chatting ourselves. Well, I don't know. I hope we're talking and making sense. But mm-hmm. Listen, Nathan, I know you and Augusto share a lot and have talked on some shows together. You know, if you got some things, if you listen to us a little and you want to add to that or you want to bring up something of your own, go ahead and bring it up or share with it, and you and Augusto discuss it, and we'll just see where we go. Are we in a break right now, or are we on? Well, we can be, or you can be talking, and Augusto can get a drink of water or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I do have some music uploaded, just piano, old hymns. If you guys do want to take a break, let me know about how long, and I can play something for the listeners while you do that. Let me know.
No, I'm ready. Whatever you want to share. I'm chiming in. So what did you want my thoughts on? Because I didn't get to hear the first part of the first hour. Oh, okay. Kind of what we were talking about, Nathan, was and matter of fact, why don't you start out with describing your ministry and giving some of the, like the, you know, locations people can find your work and the Watchman's Cry and the ministry and all of that, and what we were basically talking about was Earth Changes, the sun event that's coming, and prophecies, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Well, for your listeners that have not heard my program before, our ministry is called Watchman's Cry, and we're located on the Internet, and our website is Watchman's, just like it sounds, watchmanscry.com, WATCHMANSCRY.com, and we've been around for a few years now, and the Holy Spirit, God, raised up this ministry to, just like you guys, to warn the people as a watchman here where I am, and God has allowed me to see glimpses through His Holy Spirit, through dreams and visions of some coming events, and I've been doing my part to warn and to allow people to hear the exposure of what I'm able to bring to the table, and, you know, I really... It's really exciting this time we're living in, even though it seems scary and doom and all that. God is doing a wonderful work because His Holy Spirit is being poured out in a lot of people, not just ministers or
he's pouring out on regular people, on sons, daughters, little kids. My little 6-year-old daughter has been having dreams, and my son has had dreams. My wife's having dreams. So, and Augusto, you know this, and God's giving dreams to everyone to try to warn, and that's the way He does, because in the book of 2 Corinthians, the very last chapter, it says that He does this. He sends His messengers because He has compassion for the people to try to warn them, to tell them to turn. Unfortunately, we know the pattern. Most people have a hard time with the prophetic message, and they say it's just gloom and doom. We don't receive you. And 2 Chronicles says, unfortunately, they usually don't listen, and there's no remedy for them. So what time is it? I'll just share real briefly. I wrote down a few notes to prepare for this program. Augusto, you said that there was a few things you wanted me to cover, and I don't want to take all the time, but just a brief introduction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that are coming to America and to Europe and to this planet, and those things have started. They're going to be occurring in different stages. Some of the stages have already arrived, and some are still coming. And one of the ways that I like to illustrate how God's judgment arrives is, it's like if we were at a railroad crossing and we're at the blinking red lights and we're stopped and the train crosses in front of us and it's pulling a lot of rail cars, and we'll see the first cars first, and if the train's miles long, we won't see the cars at the very end. And that's kind of how God's judgment is. It arrives in stages. It arrives regionally in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. So some parts of the country will feel it while others aren't. And that's the pattern that God seems to be doing this thing worldwide. And unfortunately, it seems to work well with those that are blind and in Satan's favor when it happens this way. Because, for example, Augusto, if you're warning that, you know, drought's coming or darkness is coming, and you describe some event happening in Florida, well, you might have some guy in Nebraska saying, well, I don't see anything. Everything's great here. You're a liar. You're making it up. So that's the way. We're in a unique season, though. The bottom line is, what time is it? It's a very late hour. Things are starting to get very weird. Some people are starting to take note of it, but most people aren't, and since they aren't, they're not having the proper reaction. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15:51, it talks about Babylon, the people being in a slumber, they're blind, and we see that. They're on a mass tranquilizer, they're in that zombie pattern. But this is a spiritual blindness that we see happening right now in the world. And the bottom line of all of this is that this is a divine production that we are witnessing. And in the eyes of man, isn't it interesting, guys, that even in the eyes of man, they don't know what to call it, because they call it the Great Recession. You know, if we were to put aside the spiritual identification of what time it is right now, they can't even be honest with that, because the true identity of what's happening right now is, in America, we're in a depression, a bad economic depression, and you guys know the numbers. We know the numbers are all lied and filtered through the channels of deception from the media and the government, the politicians, and all them. And even with that, the people in leadership will not even admit that we're in a depression. But if we were to examine and place the charts and the numbers and the math of what's happening now in the economy and compare it to the 1930s, They're matching up. They rhyme with one another. So at minimum, we're in a depression, and this thing's just getting started. We're just 4 years into it. It's going to last a long time. But in the spiritual sense, it's God's judgment. It's a divine event, and the judgment is going to include several categories. Augusto, we've talked about the categories, right? There's famine, there's pestilence, there's war, the sword, and then there's the evil darkness, the beast, the noisome beast, the release of that, and that's that black ubiquitous mass that you've talked about, and that thing has been released very, very recently.
Amen.
And I, right now, Larry, we've never talked before, but I'm working on a very huge project right now in our ministry, and I'm on part six. Six is about to be released, but I have been dissecting the recent Olympic opening ceremony that we just saw.
Well, I've seen it. I saw a little bit of that on your website. I, I,
I go to your website off and on and check it, and I've noticed you've been working on some of that. Yes, it's incredible, really.
Okay, well, in the last part, part five, we were discussing and examining what happened in those ceremonies, and in part five, they actually, during the ceremony, there was a portion of the ceremony where they opened up spiritual portals and gateways to the underworld, and they released, they did a ritual. The Olympic Stadium became a temple for Lucifer on July the 27th when they did the opening ceremony, and it was a pagan ceremony, and it had a lot of layers, and this thing was orchestrated with evil genius. You know, you guys, I've been trying to, it makes my head spin because the director of this, the ceremony was Danny Boyle. He's a Hollywood director. Most people know, or in case they don't, he was the one that orchestrated the whole thing. And as I have been dissecting what he did in the ceremony and in the music, the performances and the theatrics and the staging, the props, all of that stuff had many, many spiritual layers of darkness. There were dark prophecies. They were dark messages. They were announcements. And they painted a picture that takes hours and hours, and it's so vast, the volumes of information that they did there. And it leads me to this conclusion. Danny Boyle did not really understand what he was doing because he was under the inspiration of Satan and the powers of darkness. But what the powers of darkness have done is announced to the world that their end time New World Order beasts, end time one world government, end time Illuminati, Luciferian illumination to the world, all that stuff that they've been dreaming about, it's now here. And in that ceremony, they announced that it's here. Now, not all of it has happened yet. It was kind of like the commencement, the very beginnings of it. Some of the dreams that they have for their one world government are in the baby infancy stage right now, and some of them are just beginning. In order for this New World Order to come to fruition, they need the Old World Order to be demolished, destroyed, and to burn. The American dollar as a reserve currency has to be destroyed. The money systems of the world have to be destroyed, and then their new financial system will rise out of the ashes. And they painted that whole picture. They let us know that this thing is here. And in examining all of these, and by the way, for the listeners, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and you can listen to them. There's a table of contents. They're free. You can download them and listen to your heart's content. But I want everyone to be warned. It's not for the cowardly, and it's not for the faint of heart, because this thing shows the reality of what time it is. But, Augusto, I had shared with you about these open portals, and before the Olympic ceremony, God has been showing even you, and he showed me visions of the darkness coming and the dark clouds and all of that, and we've spoken about that on Rick's show and on some other programs, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. We mentioned some of that before you came on, Nathan, and, you know, it's really interesting how this whole thing is coming together. Larry and I were talking about it's incredible. Everything is coming together so fast and so, you know, so rapidly. And you know, you did a great job with that study that you've done, you know, research on the Olympic ceremonies. And I know you have a lot to share. And Larry and I have talked. Larry has an experience that he had about aliens coming in and doing something with children. And I don't know if you shared that on the air lately, Larry, but if you don't mind sharing that, because the Lord showed something to Nathan and his wife recently that I believe are goes right along with what the Lord gave you about children.
Yeah, I can share. I'll just
And with what the Olympic Games ceremonies also revealed.
Huh. Well, this was a couple of years before the Olympic Games, I guess, and I had an experience where the Lord, it was like I was, I don't remember what state I was in, but I was in an old truck, and it was dark, and these large, very, very large craft began to come in. They were totally silent. They were huge, long type craft, and they begin to land, and the most, and I'm just running this real quick, and then I'll let Nathan, you know, share what he's got, but during this thing, it was basically it was an arrival was what it was, and when these large craft would come in and land, this really got to me, because I've been in the military and I've been in law enforcement, you know, but our own law enforcement in the U.S. and military were really partitioning these areas off around the craft and assisting in the roundup of the people for the those that were arriving. And interestingly, the children were separated from the families. In other words, all the children were put in one group, and they were literally being abducted and taken somewhere else and loaded onto these craft. The older people were being separated, women from men and groups, and some of the military were hauling them off. But it was this is what got to me, was the fact that they were the arrival, or the alien arrival, if you want to call it that, the entities were working in concert with our law enforcement and with our military, and it seemed that it had been planned a long time ago for this to occur. Go ahead, Nathan.
Wow, well, that's interesting. If we can go back several years ago, there was a vision, and it actually happened in a prophetic dream where I was asleep, and I'm going to share four different times where God has brought a warning, and others have also shared with me similar things. But so I'm going to go one by one. But the first one starts out, several years ago, I had a vision, and Augusta, you remember this way back when, I was standing in a field, and the Statue of Liberty appeared in front of me, and it was on a hill about 50 feet tall. It wasn't on the island, and there was no water. It was on a field. And I was looking at the Statue of Liberty. There was nothing else around, and all of a sudden, the head started to wobble, and it fell forward, and the head of the statue fell off, hit the ground, and started rolling, and it stopped at my feet, and I woke up. And I was wondering to myself, what in the world was that? What does that mean? And I was trying to figure it out, half asleep as I was lying in bed, and it was real dark because it's in the middle of the night, and I'm wondering, is the plane going to hit the head and knock it off? I didn't know. So I fell back to sleep, and then I went right back into the dream. Statue of Liberty appeared in front of me again, but this time a giant hand came out of the clouds that was right above the statue, and in the hand was a sword, and the sword was as long as the statue's body, and I instantly knew that that was the hand of the Lord. It was God's hand holding a sword, and the hand reached back and then came forward and chopped the head off. So God did it himself. And God chopped the head of the Statue of Liberty and did the same thing. It bounced, and it came to my feet. And then I heard a voice boom from where the hand was. It was the voice of God saying, "Liberty will be decapitated." Okay, then I woke up, and now, of course, wow, that painted a whole picture right there. And that pretty much speaks for itself. So over the course of several days, I prayed and I sought God, and I asked him, how is that going to happen? Because I wanted more insight on it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me the second day and said, I want you to warn all the people that Liberty is going to be decapitated. And I said, but how is it going to happen? And the Holy Spirit said, I just want you to warn everybody. And I asked again, and then the Holy Spirit said, an event is going to happen that's going to cause this. And the reason that you saw the Statue of Liberty on the hill, well, that was Capitol Hill. It's going to happen through the courts, through the legislation, through Washington, through Congress, through the mandates of the people in government. They're going to do it. They're going to take away the freedom of America. And this has been a few years now, and of course we see that happening. But the Holy Spirit went on to say that an event is coming, and when this event happens, it's going to be so horrible in the eyes of people that even Christians themselves, the strongest Christians, are going to have a hard time understanding it. They're going to have a hard time dealing with it and facing it. It's going to shake the strongest among us. Okay, well, after that happened, okay, after the Holy Spirit said that, I of course, now I'm probing, what's the event? What's going to happen? And, you know, you can't make God tell you something that he doesn't want to say. He just gives little parts. We know in part and prophesy in part. So he just said, warn the people. And I said, but God, what's the event? Warn the people. So he didn't tell me what the event was. He just said, warn them. And then he added this. The Holy Spirit said, and also say this, tell the people to pray that they are not separated from their children when this event happens. And now, of course, that has my attention because I have a little baby daughter and a little son. And, you know, if you're a parent, that's going to alarm you. So, and we were done. The Holy Spirit just said, do it. Okay, so I did it. I published it. It was on the website. It's been up there for a while now. But I don't know what the event is, you guys, but since then, through different prayer sessions over the years, God has given me little insights here and there, and over the course of years and in the programs and on articles, et cetera, I've published the warnings as they come. And since then, the Holy Spirit has said, as the judgment progresses in America, it's going to look and rhyme with what we see happening to Israel when Israel got invaded by Babylon. And you can go to the book of Lamentations, and the way that Israel was under siege, or Judah was under siege, you know, when Jerusalem was surrounded, when the Babylonians came and they starved them out, and the people ran out of food, and it was just a terrible thing. And Jeremiah writes, he chronicles what happens, and that's the book of Lamentations, and that means he was crying when he wrote it because it was so sad. And Lamentations is a very, very sad diary of what God's people went through. And Jeremiah speaks, I mean, you can hear the heart-wrenching, the pain of what he's seeing, because he says in Lamentations, as I walk through the village, through the streets, I see children that I used to hold in my arms and play with, and now they're pining away and starving to death, and they're dying. I see mothers screaming out and saying why, and I see people giving their most valuable things for food. So the Holy Spirit said, that's coming to America. And in Lamentations chapter, I have it right here, chapter 2, verse 19, the Holy Spirit said, you can find a lot of the things that America's going to go through as you read it. And it's so interesting, you guys, because when you read the attitude of Judah before they got invaded was pompous, arrogant. It could never happen to us. We're great. God loves us, and we're too strong to be invaded. Well, as they progress in that siege, we, of course, through history know what happened. They got defeated and were carried off to captivity. And in Lamentations chapter 2:19, I'm going to read this. It says, arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Now, it's starting out. Well, let me back up one verse to verse 18. Their heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give yourself no rest. Now, that's talking about travailing prayer right there, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of attitude that we as Christians, you know, we as the remnant, I get emails from people and they say, Nathan, you say prepare spiritually. How do I do that? Well, right here's a little beginning primer. We need to have a contrite, broken heart before God if we really understood and realized how bad it's going to get in the coming months. People would be crying out now. So we need to be putting in our spiritual bank account of prayer tears in heaven. Now, it goes on in verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. So there's a command. It's God telling us how to protect our families. Well, we do it through prayer. Psalms 91 happens right here. This is how Psalms 91, dwelling in the secret place, happens. Psalms 91, you know, you hear people saying, well, I have Psalms 91 when bad things come. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to have faith. And if you were to ask them, well, what's Psalms 91 to you? They would say, well, it's trusting in God. Well, let me make for all the listeners that are listening, ladies and gentlemen, throughout the world, wherever you are, Psalms 91 is not a bumper sticker. It's not a poster, and it's not a T-shirt that you wear. Psalms 91 is what we just read.
Good point.
It's pouring out your heart to God. It's contriteness. It's humbleness. It's asking him for his help. Okay, so right here we just read that the children, once again, need to be prayed for by the parents. And I want to say this. I'm about to share a prophetic dream I had, Larry and Augusto. And as I shared, for all the people listening, I would hope that those of you that are listening, don't just take it as something that sounds interesting and scary and fun Christian doom entertainment. This needs to be a challenge that this thing is facing us, it's coming, and we as parents, those of us that have loved ones that we have been entrusted with, need to start doing our homework now.
So, need to pray for the children, don't they, Nathan? And cover them every day with the blood of the Lamb and pray a hedge of protection around them.
We do. And, yeah. And see, that's a good point, Augusto. Here's the next challenge, though. If we're living flaky Christian lives, and you know, people are compromising and they're apathetic and they have hidden sins in the closet, and then they go off to pray to God and ask Him to protect their kids, do they really mean it? So right there is another challenge about repentance. That's why that's kind of important too, right?
Because
okay.
These people are definitely interested in the children, Nathan. Now, from your research and the Olympic ceremonies, I mean, they made a big thing out of this thing with the children. How, you know, all these babies, you know, and they were literally telling us, you know, the children, we're going to do something with the children. And it didn't look good. I mean, I know you did a lot of research into it, but it did not look good to what they're planning for the children.
Okay, I'm about to share that right here. Now, here it is, you guys. Number one, I'm going to share the Olympic ceremony, but first I'm going to share two prophetic dreams. My wife had one, and then a friend of mine had one. Let me share my wife's first. This was about 3 weeks ago, maybe, 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know exactly. It was maybe a month around there. My wife, in the dream, was packing frantically, just throwing things in a suitcase, because in her dream she knew that we had to go. And she woke up and she told me about the dream, and I said, so what happened in your dream? She said, we were trying to leave very quickly. It was like we didn't care. We didn't have time to take anything of value. It was just basically the clothes on her back and maybe a few things in a bag. And I asked her, why were we trying to leave? She said, because we had been told that the people from the state were coming to take our kids away. And we were warned, so I don't know how she got the warning, but we had to leave. So in the dream, that's what happened. All right, now, this is what's interesting. When she told me about this dream, a few hours later, I got a cell phone call that I didn't pick up, so it went to my voicemail, and I didn't look at it. And then the same person called again a few hours later, and then they called the third time, and I was just busy that day. So the next day, I called them up. And this friend of mine is a police officer here in the town where I live. And he's a good friend of mine. He comes to our Bible study. He loves the Lord. And he knows what time it is. So he's a promise keeper and all that. Or the oath keeper, I mean. Okay, so he said, Nathan, I had the craziest dream last night. And his dream was within one day of my wife's dream. And I said, what was it? And he said, I don't have these dreams very often, but it shook me. It woke me up. It scared me so much, I got out of bed and I went and checked on my kids. So I said, what was it? And he said, I dreamt that I went to pick up my children from school, and when I got there, the classroom was empty, my kids weren't there. And I asked the teacher, she's sitting there all by herself, I asked the teacher, where are my kids? And the teacher said, they're not here. And I said, I know they're not here. I can see that. Where are they? And the teacher said, they came and took them. And he said, who took them? She said, I don't know. Some people came, took all the kids and put them in buses and took them away.
Isn't that wild? My goodness. That sounds like knowing, doesn't it, Larry?
It does. It absolutely does.
Okay, so that's the second one. Now, if we go backwards now, the Holy Spirit told me, pray that you're not separated from your kids. We can see in Lamentations, pray for your children, my wife's dream, and then we have this one. Okay, now where I was studying the Olympic ceremony, the ceremony was broken into different parts, and the first part was the part about the peaceful green pastures, Isles of Wonder, and they had sheep, and it was green looking all pretty, and they did it for 5 minutes, and then it went into that evil satanic mills industrial portion where all those chimneys came out, and it was real dark. And then after that, they brought out the hospital beds when that giant warlock, devil, 80-foot tall warlock was in the middle of the field. Did you guys see pictures of that? Okay. During that segment, the hospital beds were brought in, and they formed words for the Great Ormond Children's Hospital, Street Hospital, and it was for national health care. It was a big commercial for British Obamacare, if you will. And I suppose that that's part of the big plan. When the world comes together, they're going to have a worldwide healthcare system. Well, this was a big commercial for it, and they formed different shapes with the beds. But when this segment first started, it was very eerie. I downloaded the ceremony, and I watched it on my computer, and I've seen it. I've spent a lot of hours freezing the frames and going backwards, going in slow motion, taking screen captures to study what they were doing. And to this day, you guys, there are images that they did that happened in like within 1 or 2 seconds, or they were on the screen just for a few seconds and then they were gone. And I have not seen anyone talk about those things in the general media, on the internet, because most people don't have the luxury of rewinding it and going fast forward, et cetera. But there are some eerie things, and I'm going to be sharing those. I probably have 3 or 4 or 5 more parts coming, and the next part that's going to come is going to be very eye-opening. But in the section when they did the children's hospital, they brought out several hundred hospital beds, and there were these children dressed in pajamas on the hospital beds, and the nurses were pushing the beds, and they brought them on the field, and they painted different words. They formed words with the beds, and for those of you that saw the images, they formed the words for Great Ormond Children's Hospital, National Healthcare, and then they formed occultic pagan witchcraft symbols also with them. They when the warlock came and was standing in the middle of the field, that 80-foot-tall demon, they formed a circle around it with the beds, and then there was a crescent moon on the left side of the warlock, and that's a witchcraft symbol. And at the beginning of that segment, when the children's beds were brought in, then they brought in, and it was part of probably from a children's book, I don't know which one, but it was a wagon that was, driven by a demonic-looking driver, and he was pulled by some black horses, and this wagon was a prison wagon that you would see in the 1800s, how they used to take mm-hmm. prisoners. Mm-hmm. And this prison wagon was 3 stories tall, and he had a giant net that was that was big enough to grab children. So this was the children thief. They were showing us a glimpse of what they planned to do, and they did it in the ceremony that they planned to, at their whim, take children away, and they're going to take them away like some dog catcher is going to show up and steal the children. And when I saw this, I froze it, and I couldn't believe that they were revealing that, you know, stealing the kids. Why in the world would they do that? But apparently when...
Because they want the kids for the New World Order, Nathan. They're easy to indoctrinate and raise up. And that's what they want to do, you know, make the children a big part of their New World Order system. Because they cannot change someone like you, me, Larry, Dorothy, you know, but the children, they can.
Well, okay, and you're exactly right, Augusto. And if you have the opportunity, I put this on my website. I captured some images of this thing. And if you go to my website on the table of contents, you open that up, and then it says you can go to any of the parts of the programs, and then you can click part 1 through 5. And as you click it, then you can go to the notes and images page. And in part 4, it's called The Mark of the Beast, Mystery of Iniquity. If you click on part 4 and you scroll down to the bottom, it says program notes and images. And it'll open up a page of some screen captures I did of this segment. And during the segment when that demon guy was in the middle of the field, they formed a giant ring around the entire stadium with the beds, and the children were on the beds. And get this, guys, when that thing was, that warlock's demon was in the middle of the field, all the children are saluting it like the Heil Hitler salute, you know, when their arms straight out. And the nurses are standing behind the children, and they're doing the same thing. They're doing the Heil Hitler. And so you can see the image, and it's as plain as day. So you're exactly right. The jackboot thugs, the children's army, you know, how Hitler had them, the brown shirts mm-hmm. that pulled on their parents and got indoctrinated. That's exactly right, because each hospital bed, if you notice, their hospital beds have a light on the bed. Have you seen these images, Larry or Augusto?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw them, and I also saw the image, a very, very strange image of this, you know, when this guy comes in, and he almost, like, does some weird gestures, like trying to suck the soul out of this kid. And that, I thought that was really dark, and that was really sinister. And then the kid just comes and embraces him, and he just, like, you know, like he has now come into the fold. And I thought this was so dark and sinister.
Oh, it was. And this, the symbology, you would have to listen to the explanation of the symbology, but just real quick, the Illuminati, the Masons, the Freemasons, the Fraternal Order, they value and they look up to a lot of the bad guys in the Bible. that we find in Scripture, like Cain and Tubal-Cain and Nimrod and all those guys that are the enemies of God, the rebels that hated God and fought against God, those are the ones they hold in high esteem, and those are the ones they want to copy and mimic and emulate. Well, there's one character in the Bible named Tubal-Cain, and Augusta, we've spoken about him privately, and, mm-hmm. and the Freemasons love Tubal-Cain, and he's found in the book of Genesis. He's seven generations from Adam, and they say in their writings that Tubal-Cain is actually a pagan god named Vulcan. And Vulcan, when you start looking at mythology, when you start looking at the background, is a demon who is the demon of steel and forging. And in the New Age, Vulcan is believed to be an ascended master who once lived on the earth, and he went through enough lifetimes to no longer need a human body, and now his spirit lives in the planets. And they believe that his spirit is in our solar system, and his spirit can throw... shine rays of light down on Earth, and if you can absorb his rays of light, this is all in the writings of Alice Bailey, if you can absorb his rays of light, it'll help you to reach illumination so that you can be initiated and go to the next level in the New Age, and your body moves up and you gain all these creepy powers, the satanic powers. But the ray of light is one of the key terms that the New Age really value, and they believe it's the spiritual force that they're after, and it's really the ray of light is the Kundalini serpent demon. It's demonic, but the ray of light comes from Vulcan, which comes from Tubal-Cain, and the symbol for Tubal-Cain is a cane, an actual, you know, walking cane. Okay.
Yeah, right.
The hospital beds on every children's hospital bed had a light attached to the headboard that was in the shape of a cane, and at the end of the light of the cane is a light that shines on their face. So that was symbolic of the light of Satan, who is Vulcan, who is Tubal-Cain, shining their indoctrinating light on all the children. So their plan is to indoctrinate our kids. You're exactly right, Augusto. They're after our children. They're after preaching and polluting to them and making refined pagans out of all the children of the world. And to this day, you know, Obama has his nice little education program, and he's starving our kids now in the schools. You know, they're reducing their lunch, the portions that they get to eat. They don't get enough protein. Have you heard about this? The kids are starting to protest.
Oh, yeah, they're
this.
Fainting. They're fainting all over the place because their nourishment is so, you know, has been cut in half. And, yeah, this is the so-called, you know, the great enlightened menus that they gave out to keep the children in shape. But, you know, it's like everything. This is the first phase. When we see the next phases for this thing, we're going to literally see indoctrination. See, in Cuba, and a lot of people don't know this, but in Cuba, I lived in Cuba up to 13 years old when I came out. And that is what they did over there. They took the children and indoctrinated them for the government. We know Hitler did the same thing, and in Russia they did. I mean, this is typical of those types of society. So the children in the school, I'm just going to share one of the things they did. So, you know, it's going to shock the people. But one of the ways they indoctrinated the kids was they would sit them at the school, okay, and the teachers would, you know, there will be several teachers there, and they would tell the children, okay, children, we're going to do something today different. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to ask or say a prayer and ask God for a cup of ice cream. And we are going to see what happens. So the children, you know, very innocently, every children close their eyes, and the teacher would say, okay, now ask God to give you some ice cream. And they, you know, innocently say, God, please give me some ice cream. And so after that, the teacher would say, okay, children, open your eyes. And, of course, there was no ice cream there. So I said, okay, now we're going to do the same thing. We're going to ask for ice cream, but you're going to ask Fidel Castro. You're going to ask Fidel for ice cream, and we're going to see what happens. So, okay, close your eyes. And then all the teachers secretly, you know, quickly just put a little cup of vanilla ice cream in front of them, and told them, I said, now ask Castro, Fidel Castro, for ice cream. And the children, again, innocently say, Fidel, please give us some ice cream. And the teacher again once said, okay, open your eyes. And there was the little cup of ice cream. And then the teacher indoctrinated them and said, you see, God doesn't exist. You ask God for ice cream, and there is no ice cream. But you ask Fidel for ice cream, and there it is. You see, Fidel listens to you, and he will give you what you want. And this went on over and over. This indoctrination was continuous. It was continuous for the children and for the people. But the children were so easily managed and so easily deceived because they're children. That's why Jesus said, let the children come unto me, and you must become as little children to enter the kingdom of God. So children believe everything, and especially from the up to 7 years of age, children are at a stage where they can be programmed, literally they can be indoctrinated for whatever it is that they want the children to believe. And so these people are definitely interested in our children, but I think, Nathan, and from your dreams and from the experiences and dreams that Larry had, I think that this time around, this thing is even darker and much more sinister than what we have ever seen before.
Wow.
Well, I think you're right, because of the fact that, and of course Nathan's heard your report about the ubiquitous darkness, because I didn't even know what ubiquitous was, Augusto, when you told me about that. But since then, I looked it up, and it's everywhere at the same time. It's almost a counterfeit, actually, to God's ability to be everywhere at once. It's a mechanical copy. But let me share something real quick, and then you guys can use it or talk about it if you want to. I've never shared before. I had an experience really odd. It was like I was taken to an underground facility somewhere, okay? I think it was a government facility. It felt like because I've worked in military medical facilities myself, in the military, and I know kind of how they are put together. And this seemed to be some type of facility that was underground. It was a secret facility. I was taken to that place, and nobody could see me. The Lord protected me and walked me through to a certain individual's room. I went into that room, and there was it's hard to describe, and this probably is why I've never shared it before, but it's like there was somebody there that had tubes and everything hooked to him, and was being literally drained of his entire life force, if you know what I'm saying. This includes the liquids from the body, portions of the body. It's like a bad sci-fi movie or something, but this was real, and it was like this individual wanted to tell me something. I walked over to the individual, and the individual said, I've been taken, I've been captured, and they have taken everything from me. They've taken all my life. What's my life? They've taken. And get this, that individual then said to me, said, they've even stolen my identity, which, boy, that really struck me. And then immediately I was taken from that facility by the Spirit, and I've reflected on that a few years. This is about 4 or 5 years old that this occurred, 4 or 5 years ago. But I've never really shared that because it's simply so repulsive, basically, and I can't, it's probably a good thing I can't share what I really saw. But that was the terms.
That's really weird. Yeah, there's something, I think, and of course we don't know any of this in detail yet because the Lord has not revealed it, but there's something much more sinister coming we have no idea about. That it has to do with stealing, like you said, our identity. It has to do with impacting or impregnating our soul, our DNA. And the children. And this is much deeper than we have ever even had happen before, and on any level. And because I think right now we are getting into the technology is so sophisticated that these entities are sharing with humankind that, they're beginning to make, like I was watching in the internet tonight, this report about this, I think they call them Liger, which is a crossbreed between a tiger and a lion. Mm-hmm. And this thing is huge. I mean, the size of this thing. And it is, the mother was a lion and the father was a tiger. And so they named it Liger. And they're doing these chimeras all over the place right now. And I believe that this is what's going to happen in the very near future. We're going to be faced with super technologies that these aliens are going to bring to humankind, that people are going to be so deceived. And their main target is going to be the children. And for some reason, I think that that's who they're targeting with all these video games and all these movies and all these, you know, Transformers and all these other games. This is who they're targeting. They want the children.
Mm-hmm. Augusto, Larry, the New World Order, I think they operate in the same way like a terrorist. They want to get credit and announce and brag that what they're about to do, and they like to put it in plain sight, and most people are too blind to see it, but they still do it, and I don't know why they do it, but during the ceremony, there were some portions of the ceremony that are actually about this very thing that you guys are talking about, because the stadium, the Olympic Stadium is in, of course, London, and right outside of the Olympic Stadium, they built a piece of art that's very tall. It's over 300 feet tall. It's called the Orbit Tower. Did you guys see images of that?
I saw that.
You saw
maybe,
it?
Maybe, yeah. I think I did.
Okay, the artist, the designer for this Orbit Tower, he said that his inspiration was the Tower of Babel. So right there, they're admitting that it's the Tower of Babel, right outside the stadium. But it doesn't just look like a ziggurat. It also looks like a span of DNA. You know how you have the twisting ladder of DNA? It also looks like that. So that's interesting. If you look at this artwork, one has to ask themselves, why in the world would they make it look like Babylon and DNA? Well, of course, they're not going to tell us why they did that, but it says in the book of Daniels how in the last days they will, when you have the statue that was clay and iron, and it says that they will mingle themselves with the seed of men, mixed with the seed of men.
Right,
so,
right.
That's another prophecy of what's going to happen in the end times. But during the ceremony, they actually acted out that very thing. Because when they did the Satanic Mills portion of the ceremony where the chimneys came out and it looked like the Industrial Revolution, I shared this on one of the programs, I believe it's part 3 or 4, where the molten lava came out and it formed the ring and they were pounding on it. Did you guys see those images?
Yeah, there was a lot of crazy stuff there.
Okay, now they pounded on these rings, and then it was one of the rings, and then the Olympic ring logo has 5 rings, and 4 of them were coming through they had them on cables, and they came together above in the air, and then the one they were pounding on raised up, and when it touched the other ones, they exploded in fireworks and fire. You guys remember that?
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That was symbolic, of course, of the Olympic rings coming together, but it had so many deep layers, and this is what it was. And we're all adults here, so I'm just going to share, because if you see the images, there's no doubt about what they were doing. But when the liquid metal went down the channel, and it was in liquid form, and then it poured into the giant circle, before it got to the circle, it flowed in a channel, kind of like when concrete or cement's coming down out of the cement truck. You know how they pour it into the forms when they're pouring cement? Okay, but the channel wasn't straight like a cement truck. It wiggled. It was kind of like an S, and then it connected to the ring that was a big circle. So if you were above it and you saw the red-hot metal and you were looking down, you would see a circle and then what looked like a tail attached to it, a wiggly tail. And from the air, it looked like a human seed. It looked like, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, that wasn't an accident. That was to illustrate what you guys are talking about, because it was a seed, it was the seed of men, and they were pounding on, but it was a giant ring from the earth. And then when it was time, it started rising, and when it touched the other rings, there was an explosion. And those of us that know biology, when the seed touches the ovum, there's a physiological effect that happens very quickly, and the egg of hardens, and the head of the sperm goes inside of the egg, and then conception happens. You guys remember that from biology? Well, that's exactly that's what they were showing us in the ceremony. They were showing a seed touching the ovum, and then there was an explosion. But get this, guys. The rings, when it the rings that it met up from above were the rings of the titans, of the the gods, and the ring from the earth was the ring of man. So as it came up, what you had was the meeting of the human and God making the titan, the demigod, the Nephilim, and that's exactly what you guys are talking about. They did all of this in the ceremony. So, and I have the images, and I was shocked when the Holy Spirit was just helping my eyes to be open to see this thing. Augusto and Larry, they were letting us know that this is their plan, to mess with chimeras and seeds of men and Nephilim and all that stuff. You know, admittedly, I have had a hard time, and Augusto, I've said this to you, I have a hard time with this Nephilim, this whole idea of the Nephilim thing, because it's just, it's X-Files, it's sci-fi, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, it is sci-fi, and but you know, the saying that truth is stranger than fiction, and you know, since I was a little boy, I was always very interested in these things about the pyramids and the Sphinx and all these things, and I never understood why, but I was really very fascinated with all these things and what they meant. And of course, you know, as I was born again and I began to grow and I began to do research, found out that all of these things are related to our past history. Now, these Titans and the Nephilims, they're coming back. They are going to make an appearance on the planet very, very soon. As a matter of fact, Stan Deyo, one of the things that he says in many of his programs is that there is a rumor right now in the halls of the governments, way up there, that these Nephilims and are coming back, and this has been said by the government. And sometimes I worry, Larry, I wonder if maybe this is not some of the stuff that the government here is preparing for, because I have heard and seen so many spacecraft in the skies. I see them all the time. I see these beams of light dancing in the heavens, all kinds of colors, orange, blue, purple. I mean, they're there. And I remember when Larry first talked to me about it, back in the year 2007, I think it was, I thought that Larry had just flipped. But
that's true.
You know, but the Lord, no, that was back in 1997.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, 1997. But what Larry didn't know was that the Lord was dealing with me already, because he had shown me in dreams and visions, you know, this spacecraft. And they were being escorted by two military planes in the sky. Mm-hmm. And I didn't believe in any of that back then. Now, this happened in 1995. I didn't believe in the UFOs or anything like that. And the Lord began to reveal these things to me in dreams and visions. I had another experience way back then. It must have been in 95, 94, 95, where I saw like a pit on the earth, Larry and Nathan, and I saw all these military men and scientists, and they were gathered around this hole. It was like a hole in the ground, a pit, a gate, okay, a doorway. And I heard them saying this, and to me back then, that didn't mean anything. I didn't understand what they were talking about, but this is what they were saying. They're coming out. We cannot contain them any longer. We can't hold them down any longer. And then I woke up. I said, what was that?
Wow,
and now I understand, of course, because there are caverns within the earth, of course, where many of these entities, I believe, reside, and they're being released now. The Bible talks about it, the releasing of these entities from the bottomless pit. It's in the book of Revelations. It's right there. We never understood it, but it's right there. And these entities are going to look very weird, very strange. Some of them are going to be looking like scorpions, like long hair, long teeth like lions. You know, those are chimeras. It's right there in the Bible. It's right there in the scriptures. But we always thought, you know, that these were symbolic things, you know, of maybe, that were to be interpreted, that they were not real like that.
People wanted to make them like tanks and helicopters and natural
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
Excuse me, gentlemen. We're down to just over 6 minutes, unless you want to go into the archives.
We'll probably cut it. We'll have to do another show. Augusto and Nathan, go ahead and carry this out to the end if you'd like to hear the next 6 minutes or so.
Well, I'll let Augusto finish. I've done a lot of talking. Let me just say one real quick. I'm going to be putting out part six, Augusto, and for the listeners that are following my series, part six is going to be what you're sharing right now, Augusto, about tunnels and portals and the coming New World Order beast. So it's going to be very interesting. Those of you that are familiar, be sure to log in and be looking for it. It's going to be coming out in a few days.
Praise God. Praise God. That's going to be great. That's going to be great.
Absolutely.
Because this is where we are right now. This is where we are right now. I believe that, that the book of Revelation is coming alive. And many of these portals are going to be opened. The gates of hell that Jesus Christ talked about, Yeshua HaMashiach, he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I believe that those gates of hell, and there are many on the earth, and Jesus was standing right in front of a gate from hell. Back then when he made that statement, he was standing right there. I'm not going to get into it because that's a long talk, but he talked about the gates of hell, but yet many Christians don't believe in the gates of hell, and they don't think it's real, but it is real. And they are being opened right now, and this is the dark, ungodly secret that these people have, that they are going to open them. They are going to release these things upon the earth. And it's going to be so horrific that if you don't have Jesus Christ, the power of God in your life, like Nathan was talking earlier, if you don't have a prayer covering over you, if you think you're going to make this based on because you own some guns and because you have some food stored, if you think you're going to make it, that thing, it's not going to protect you. Those things are not going to protect you from these entities. And these entities can only be overcome by the power of the Almighty, the power of God, the power of prayer. And you need to be protected by praying Psalm 91, by daily seeking Him, by daily spending time with Him, repenting of sins, being cleansed, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, and making sure that you are not going to be left on your own when these things happen, because you will not make it. Just trust me on that. You won't make it on your own. I don't care how much you prepare in the natural. If you're not preparing the spiritual, you won't make it. So I encourage everyone listening to be prepared. Please make your calling and election sure. Larry, whatever you want to say to wrap it up, praise God. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this program.
Well, we're going to have to do this again. I've been reading a little bit of the feedback from the people, and apparently this really touched some things with some people and opened some eyes, and some really good notes came. I think Roz, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Roz didn't make it.
Okay. I'll tell you what, one thing, Nathan, I apologize for not, putting you up on my postings more than I do. I'm just overwhelmed and have been for a couple of years in data and what I can do and computer problems, so you understand that. But I'm going to try to get more up on about your website and get more people over to your website to read these things because, some of the stuff you put together is just really awesome and it's critical. It's critical information. And, of course, Augusto has, he's been, on a number of shows with you guys. I've listened to both of you with Rick Wiles and different ones. The data, though, is incredible. And one of the things that I think is we're approaching a time where, it talks about people their hearts failing them, for what's coming on the earth. I think literally they lose, a lot of them just literally lose their minds, their natural mind, as Augusto said.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so
there's
going to
be people that are going to lose their minds, and they're going to be terrified. A panic is going to grip their hearts because they're going to be seeing things, like when these things begin to manifest on the earth, people are going to panic. They don't know what's going on. When these things begin to happen in the heavens, and these cataclysmic events begin to happen, the people are going to panic. They're going to be terrified. This is what Jesus said. Their hearts will be gripped with fear. And then he said, pray that you are delivered from these things and are able to stand before the Son of Man. So you people need to be able to be right.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Listen, Nathan, we're almost out completely. Thank you so much for joining with us tonight and sharing with us. We'll set up this again sometime. And thank you, Augusto and Dorothy.
Well, thank you, Larry and Dorothy. And thank you, Nathan, for making it. It was a good program.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you guys.
Amen. God bless you guys. Talk to y'all later. Good night, Dorothy.
God bless.
God bless. Good night. Talk to you later.
Bye.
God bless everybody.